The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. So I was getting close to my ordination to the priesthood. I was amazed by the variety of kinds of people that God had called to be his priests. Even in my class of five men, we were all very different. Different in personalities, different in our upbringings or our family histories. And yet we all were called to serve as priests of Jesus Christ here in the Diocese of Wichita. One in particular I feel like was always kind of the opposite of me in terms of our upbringing. Father Curtis Hecker, he's now the pastor out at St. Peter's in Schulte. And Father Curtis grew up on a farm outside of Ark City. He would say he's from Sacred Heart in Ark City, but really he was from a small town called Dexter. His family grew up on a farm. Actually, for years they didn't have any electricity or any running water, even 25, 30 years ago. So he grew up roughing it. He knew what it was like to do hard work. He was homeschooled. He didn't go to Catholic schools, but he came to fall in love with the Lord and feel that call to the seminary and ultimately to be a priest. Felt like I was always kind of the opposite. I grew up here in the city. I'm not particularly good with my hands or good or very much help on a farm. I'll try, but honestly, I'm not very good at most of those things. Grew up going through Catholic schools, K through 12. And so even though our lives and our upbringing was much different, we ended up in kind of the same place of becoming priests. But then just a few years into our priesthood, after serving at Blessed Sacrament for a few years, the bishop asked Father Curtis to go serve as the chaplain at Cape and Mount Carmel High School. I remember it was the summer before he was going to go. He had moved in and he was getting ready to teach there and be the chaplain, but he was kind of nervous about it. And so we were talking on the phone and he said, "You know, Father Devin, I don't really get why I'm going to be the chaplain of Cape. It's like, I didn't go to Catholic schools. I don't really know what that's all about. These kids have been going to Catholic schools their whole life. I grew up poor on a farm. These kids are not poor and not from a farm." Because if you look at all the guys in our class, anybody else would have made more sense than me. And I was like, "Well, yeah, but you'll do a good job, Curtis. You know, you'll do fine. The Lord will lead you." And he goes, "I mean, like, look at you. You went through Catholic schools and you're pretty preppy. So you'd probably get along with them pretty well." Tried not to be too offended, but I was like, "Yeah, that's probably true. You know, if you looked at our respective upbringings and our experience, that mine would have made a lot more sense with a bunch of Catholic high schoolers than Father Curtis's did." And yet over the next 6 years when he was their chaplain, Father Curtis did great work. I would argue probably better work than I could have done, right? Because I bleed green and gold, so it just wouldn't have worked there at Capon. So. But in all seriousness, I think because Father Curtis felt so out of his element, because he felt so uncomfortable, it required that he trust that God would do the good work. That his job when he went there wasn't to do the stuff that Father Curtis thought was a good idea, but simply to say, "Lord, help me to do your will. Help me to do what you need me to do for the faculty and the staff here at Capon. Because that is actually way better than my best ideas or what I could do based on my experience." So in that, I think God did have a plan. It wasn't that he wanted Father Curtis to feel unqualified or unable to do that work. But he wanted Father Curtis just like he wanted Saints Peter and Paul, and he wants all of us to trust that if we do God's will and follow his plan, it's actually much better than our own plans and our own thoughts. I thought of that story when I realized that today we celebrate the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. Because like me and Father Curtis, Peter and Paul were much different. They grew up completely in different realms. They were both Jews, but Simon Peter was born a simple fisherman, was called by the Lord, but doesn't seem to have a ton of understanding of the Jewish scriptures or of different languages. Paul, on the opposite hand, was very learned. He was experienced in Hebrew and Greek, and he knew a lot about the Jewish laws and the Old Testament. And yet God didn't call them to the places where they would have been comfortable. Right? You would have looked at their resumes and said, well, that would make sense for Paul to go then to the Jews and maybe to the religious leaders, to the scribes and the Pharisees, because he could speak to them about how Jesus fulfills the scriptures and the Old Testament. But that wasn't who Paul was sent to. Paul was sent out to the Gentiles, those that knew essentially nothing of the Jewish law. So that when he preached to them, it wasn't about him giving them what Paul thought was the answer or how to lead them to Jesus. That he could say, what is it that God wants me to say to them? How does God want to bring his goodness and his love and his salvation to these people? Because that's the message that's more important than what I think is important or how I came to believe in Jesus. Similarly, it would have made sense to send Peter maybe back to the Sea of Galilee, maybe back to the people that he knew well. But he wasn't sent back to Galilee. He was sent ultimately to Rome, a place of many different cultures and languages, a place of great prestige and power, all things which even at the time they would have said Peter had very little of. In fact, I can imagine Peter being quite uncomfortable in all of those settings and sitting around thinking, you know, Lord, why didn't you have Paul do this? He's used to being with fancy people, with speaking different languages and understanding them. But similarly, I think Peter realized that in those moments when he was uncomfortable or seemed like he was not strong enough to do the task, that those were moments to rely on God and his goodness. To say, God, your plan and your ideas are better than mine. Brothers and sisters, that's one of the beautiful things about this feast that we have, of celebrating both St. Peter and St. Paul. That even in their differences, they came to preach the gospel and to witness to the love of Jesus Christ. And they went not to places that they were familiar with or that would be easy for them to accomplish that goal. They could only accomplish it if they trusted in Almighty God. They came and begged for the presence of the Holy Spirit to inspire them and to lead them. One of the great things about that is it allowed them to be incredibly free. We read in the first reading how Peter was literally set free by this angel when he was once taken into prison. But then in the second reading, in the letter to Timothy, Paul is basically preparing for his death. He was also in prison multiple times. Sometimes he got freed, sometimes he didn't. But Paul is talking about in that letter how he is going to be okay whether he goes free or whether he is put to death. He says, God, if you set me free either from some normal means or some miraculous means, then I'll keep going out and preaching the gospel. I'll find joy in doing what I've already done and bring people to know you. And if this is the end, frankly, Lord, that's also okay. It's also fine if I'm ending my earthly life now because I have run the race well, I have kept the faith. I don't think that's so much an accomplishment for Paul, but he's saying, even now I trust in you, Lord. I trust that you can lead me into eternal life, that you can bring good even from this evil. That's why when Peter professes the faith in Jesus as the Messiah in today's gospel, it's a reminder of that source of our hope. The source of our hope is that Jesus is the Son of God, sent not just for a particular time or a particular moment, but sent to allow us to renew that trust in him always. That in whatever place or whatever time we find ourselves a little bit uncomfortable, noticing our weakness and afraid that we might fail, that in those moments we can realize that it's not about what we can do on our own. More about following his plan and relying on his grace. Brothers and sisters, let us pray and thank God for those moments that maybe we seem a little bit over our heads. When we don't feel like we have the required knowledge or abilities to preach the gospel and to love others. that those moments won't be a moment of despair. But like it often is for Father Curtis and I, like it was for St. Peter and St. Paul, like it has been for so many Christians before us, that in those moments of weakness, we can realize that he will provide for us. It's not about us having the right ideas or abilities, but instead about leaning on his and trusting him. That we can realize that it's not that our plans are wrong or that we don't know how to plan correctly. Instead, it's to see that his plans are better. That if we follow the Lord and trust in him, we can renew the face of the earth. We can bring that same joy to the world that Saints Peter and Paul did. That by our loving witness, we can be martyrs for the Lord in this life and be led to fullness of joy with him in heaven.